know, this might be Russ Gerald was talking about this. It might be Pergamos, because the religion of Babylon Pergamos was before that time, around that time, something like that.
I don't believe that because
the same evidence strikes against Rome strikes against the
I don't believe that because it's historical, and I don't think you can talk about Babylon or pretty much anything being that if it's used in a historical setting. Plus the fact that is maybe an argument used to people say, well, Babylon doesn't exist anymore, but it did exist in second wave cities at the time. If they didn't know it existed, they might try to find someplace else. I don't feel that that's true. I think it's based on...
Yeah, well, it's the same argument at both points.
Yeah.
That was too complicated. I suggested to Roy, I said, what about that deal? So they have to pass it by.
Donald. There's two of these things that are this way. They're awfully troublesome sometimes. Is there any way we can, if I give you the money, can you buy another one?
I'll talk to Roy today and see if I can get him to. So let me do it this way.
Well, I got a thicker place here. It holds better.
If you do this and put this cord right in this little notch.
Yes, that's what I do. But I use the thicker.
I
use the thicker part here. Sometimes it kind of holds better, but
all that's right now.
Even then, they're troublesome and sometimes flop down.
I don't know if you can buy these separate or not. We'll try. These are $30 the whole thing.
Is that so?
Yeah. So I don't know if you can buy them separate, but we'll try.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, maybe we can.
There should be because they just clamp on.
Think about making something that can't buy them. This is the five drugs.
Well, let's get into our lesson in the Psalms. I'm going to need your help. I've been occupied with about everything except Psalms. Should be at home now. The third verse of chapter 104, speaking of the Lord, stretched out the heavens like a curtain, Isaiah 44, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot. Now that word chariot, kind of rather interesting there. The word here for chariot is rekab, R-E-K-H-U-B. And we find in other places that those, what they call chariots, are saints and cherubs. And in one place he says, he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And that cherub and this rekab, that C-H has the sound, same quality as the K. The K sound, so it's cherub, just as though it were K-E-R-U-B. And sometimes the Hebrew uses the K instead of the C-H. Sometimes you'll find that in here, that they use the other spelling way. But now that C-H has a K, it'd be K-E-R-U-B, and the rekab is R-E-K-H-H-U-B, so that the C-H is as the K, and the R-E, it's just a transposition there. Instead of K-E-R-U-B, it's R-E-K-H-U-B, because the H belongs with the C. You see, the K-H is like the C-H there. The C-H, the C has the quality of the K. So if the K were in the rekab, it would be R-E-C-H-U-B. Down here it's C-H-E-R-U-B. Now, like we have in there, in the Psalms about the 70s there, what was that other name? Like Ezrahite, the Ezrahite actually was Zerahite. That person that they were speaking of was what we find back there as Zerahite instead of Ezrahite. Same letters, but transposed. See? And possibly purposely also here. So in Psalm 68:17, you find out the chariots of the Lord are saints or cherubs. And then in the other place, 18:10, he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Rode upon a cherub, which is like riding on a chariot. He maketh the clouds his chariot, but in he who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Now, where is it? 18:10? 18:10, it says he rides upon, is that what he says? Fly. He rode upon a cherub and or a rekab. See, if it's a rekab, it's a chariot. If it's a cherub, it's a saint. In fact, it's saints both ways, because the saints are his chariots. Like also clouds sometimes, the people, the clouds are witnesses, those who accompany me. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. But that word wind is spirit. It's the same word, Hebrew word, ruach, but ruach is spirit. Sometimes it's wind. Now, in this verse of scripture that we have here, so we have who walketh upon the wings of the spirit, it should be. Another place said he flieth upon the wings of the wind. But that's spirit too. Spirit, wind, breath. All of them same. Use the same word for the same thing. Oftentimes not always the same word, but it means the same thing. They use them interchangeably. So what this really means here, he walketh upon the wing, walketh or flies upon the wings of the Spirit. John 3:8, for instance, where Jesus said unto Nicodemus about these heavenly things being born again, the wind bloweth where it listeth. The wind, now that was ruach. If it were in the Hebrew, it would be ruach. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whither it cometh or whither it goeth, whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So also is every one that is born of the ruach again. In the Hebrew it would be. See what I mean? Spirit. Now, spirit, in the Hebrew, spirit, wind, breath, same thing. But the context has to tell you which it is. So actually, it's spirit. And Jesus is likening the natural wind to the spirit. So is everyone that's born of the spirit. So we find also Philip, when he went down to Gaza, met the eunuch down there and baptized him, all of a sudden he wasn't. See? So is also is he that's born of the Spirit. He can be just transported like that. That's the reason they didn't want to go and tell possibly Obadiah, didn't want to go and tell Ahab that he had seen Elijah and that he was over here, and he sent me to tell you that he's over there. He said, I'm afraid to go because when we get back with the Spirit of the Lord, just pick you up and you'll be someplace else. And then I'll get my head cut off. No, he said, I promise you I won't. I'll be right here. He was. Likewise, Ezekiel, just picked up by the lock of the head and carried up to Jerusalem, just as though he was there, whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know, but he was there anyway. When I came up to destroy the city, and that's the meaning of the circumstance here. Now, the next verse. Also, Acts 8:39. That's the other place that I was just talking to you about. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Now, actually, that should read, to get the proper understanding of that, who maketh his messengers spirits. His ministers a flame of fire. Now, if you look at Hebrews 1:7 with that verse, Hebrews 1:7, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, the Apostle Paul in the Greek seems to use the word spirit, where back here it used the word angels, spirits, his ministers, a flame of fire. Here he used, you see, the word is spirits, but the other place it used the word there, it called them wind. Wind. And now the word angels here, and I rather think that in every case here in 1 Hebrews where he's speaking, he means messengers in every place. I guess that's what Rotherham does. Messengers in every place, and does not mean angels. He maketh his messengers spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And that will agree with all the other scripture, because God does not make angels. He creates angels. They're not made spirits. Man is made spirit, but angels are created spirits. Man was made of the earth earthy. But he is made spirit. Let us make man in our own image. God created man in his own image after Adam of the earth, earthy. But he's made after the image of God in the spirit through the gospel. You understand that, don't you? By this time. So that it fits everything in the Bible. If the angels here are messengers and the wind becomes spirits, as they do have it here, and his ministers a flame of fire. And that's what happened, and that's what you're looking at when you see the cherubim and the living creatures. You're looking at spirit creatures. That is, they're in the process of coming into Christ, but they are already in the spirit. They represent those who already have the spirit of Christ. They have the mind of Christ. They have the spirit of Christ, and they walk with him. They follow wherever the head would lead. That is, wherever God, they're under, they are led of the spirit. Now, if you're led of the spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. These are people that do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, and they are a separate division, therefore, among those people. Even back there when they're being cast off, they are with the Lord. They remain, they do not leave the Lord or cease to walk straight. All the while, they're wherever he is. When he leaves the temple, they leave the temple. When he comes into the temple, they come into the temple. When they're down in Babylon, they're down in Babylon, part of them, anyway. Part of them down there, part of them are down there, and when part of them are up here in Jerusalem, they're up there in Jerusalem. But when they all go out, and God puts them out, and they're no more in the temple, they leave the temple. All right. So he maketh his angels, messengers, actually, spirits, from all the understanding here. And his spirit's not wind like back here. He rode upon a cherub, and did fly, because he took upon himself the form of a man. Himself was anointed, the God's anointed, special one anointed. That is, he is the Christ. We are the Lord's Christ in the body, but we are not individually the Christ, but he was the Christ, the captain of our salvation and the example for all the rest of the sons of God who are anointed of God. And he did fly upon the wings of the Spirit in Psalm 18:10. Now, think it over and figure it out for yourself. Who laid the foundations of the earth? He did, of course. Created all things. That it should not be removed. That it should not be removed forever. Now, when God made the earth, he didn't make it in vain. When he made man, he didn't make him in vain. He made him for his glory, and he's going to be his glory. He made the earth for his glory, and the earth is yet going to glorify him. The earth will yet glorify him. The hills will still leap for joy, and the mountains shall skip like a ram. All the little hills will be glad. And the desert shall blossom and bloom as a rose. And the lion and the lamb shall lie down together, and all his people shall be righteous. And you'll look for the sins of Judah and won't be able to find them. The Lord alone shall be glorified in that day. He made the earth forever, but he's going to have the new heaven and the new earth is the perfection. And the new man in the new heaven and new earth is the perfection. There's where the end is. The end is way down there. Not at the beginning of the millennium. Not at the rapture. The end is down at the new heaven and the new earth.
What makes men live so such good lives during the millennium?
Well, one great advantage is, and I wish it were so now, that old rascal is bound in the bottomless pit during that time. He won't be doing, believe me, he won't be doing what he's doing out here now. Every vessel under the Lord shall be holiness. Holiness under the Lord. Even the bells on the horses. Holiness under the Lord. Written right upon them. Nothing shall hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain during that 1,000 years. But at the end of the 1,000 years, that's different. And the new heaven and the earth, oh, that's so different. No more sin at all anymore. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. No more judgment from then on. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. Genesis 1:2. The waters stood above the mountains. Genesis 7:20. All the tops of the mountains were covered. 15 cubits upward. Oh, you say, that couldn't cover a mountain. No, but if it's 15 cubits above the top of the mountain, they are. Some people get fouled up on that one, you know. And at thy rebuke, the waters fled. Let the waters be gathered together. And it was so. See? And then when he rolled back the Red Sea and when he rolled back the waters of the Jordan, at the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away. Let the waters be gathered together and let the dry land appear. And when his voice uttered it, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The waters just rolled away at the thunder of his voice. And it was done. And it was so, the Bible said. And it was so. And the first evening, and the first morning, were the first day. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys, into the place which thou hast founded them, the waters. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over. Hitherto shalt thou come and no further. He set a bound for the waves, proud waves of the sea, so strong, so powerful. Men are still falling before them just like nothing, bowling them over. They're going down every day. Great ships tearing at the banks, but God had said, this far you shall come and no further. So the old banks are still there. They're washed, sure. Chained somewhat. Battered. But God said, that's all. Even though where there's nothing to stop them, seemingly. A level beach. It looks like, well, why don't they just keep right on going? But they don't. They don't. They stop right there and go right back. See, that's as far as they come. We call that the tide line. That's the place where God said, hitherto shalt thou come and no further. Kind of wonderful, isn't it? He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Now there's other scriptures there, but you probably have already got them, and you can get them if you want them. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. See, God has arranged all of this. The winds carry the clouds, and they go in a great circuit out from the north down around the south and back out to the sea and pick up more water and bring it back up and then drop it on the mountains and on the valleys and even in some of the desert places, and it runs back down into the sea. Quite a program, isn't it? You ever hear of perpetual motion? That's the closest thing we've got to it, and man didn't make it. Wine that maketh glad the heart of man. He doesn't mean intoxicating liquor like everyone's after nowadays. Saw a sign on a car just today. Yeah, I think today. Love not wine. Oh, love wine, not war. And a report in the paper just the other day, a couple of days ago, greater portions of our highway accidents are because of drunkenness. death. But wine, that's a different thing. And wine does not have to be at all intoxicating. Pharaoh's servants squeezed out the wine into the cup. Fresh. Still was wine. Now there's a difference in wine. There's all kinds of wine. But look not on the wine when it's red, when it moves itself right in the cup. That's when it's agitated. That alcohol that makes your brain go this way till you don't know from nothing. Don't even know enough to come in out of the rain. He sendeth the springs in the valley, and he caused the grass to grow, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthened man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. There's a lot of them full of sap, too, that aren't the trees of the Lord, but it's a different kind of sap. It's a different kind of sap. One is maple sugar and the other is poison like hemlock. And they call them saps. Trees of the Lord are full of sap. Cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted. God planted his people in Lebanon, his holy mountain, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. So he says to his people, flee as a bird to your mountain. Flee as a bird to your mountain. At God's altars, even the sparrows find a place to build their nest and are safe. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies, little rabbit-like creatures in the rocks. Rock conies, rock rabbits they call them. Little tiny things. I've seen the little things. They're right in a rock pile always. Got some of them right here in Washington. Saw some way back up here in the primitive area of the Goat Rock region. He appointed the moon for seasons. That's what he tells us back in Genesis. Set the sun, the moon, stars, all there for signs and for seasons and for days and for months and for years. The sun knoweth his going down. Right on time always too. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together, lay down, them down in their dens. All these things have their place, have their time, and that's the way they just keep their order. Now, he's showing you that everything out here that God has created has a program. It has an order. It has everything prepared for them. And they keep everything except man. Everything except man. God has a program for his people too, and he lets you know that. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. He ordained that too. When man transgressed, then he said, by the sweat of your brow thou shalt eat bread. Well, Lord, but he, even before that, he gave him a garden to tend to for the pleasure, very pleasure of it, and then he might eat of it and have it. Man goeth forth unto his work, to his labor, until the evening. O Lord, how manifold! Oh, how great, how manyfold! That word manifold means manyfold, in many ways. Oh, many multiple ways are thy works. How great in wisdom hast thou made them all. So we read back here in the psalm also, Psalm 8:8, I guess it is, or somewhere thereabouts, seems to me. And I behold the works of thy hand, the heavens, the stars, all these things. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him? When I see all your great wonderful works and how that they are every one operating by an absolute law. All our laws of science and nature go by those laws, because they can depend on those things always being in place, always coming in their season, always doing what they were made to do. But man, you can't depend upon him. Put not your confidence in man, but put your confidence in God, who has laid out a plan and program for his people and given them good laws, but they haven't kept them. So is this great, and the earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. The great whales. It says back there in Genesis, and God created. You see, God had about three different creations back there. If you look back in Genesis, you find he had about three different creations. And God created great whales, great fish. See? That was one of the creations. The rest of his works, he just said, and let this happen, and let that happen, and let this happen, let that happen. But there was three great creations there. Take a look at them. Back in the first and second chapters of Genesis. There go the ship. There is that great Leviathan, which God also likens him unto the devil himself. He's so tremendous. His power is so great. So we find in, I guess it's in, well, there's two or three different places there. In both Isaiah and Ezekiel, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and then there's another place, a place in Job, places in Job where it speaks specifically of him. I don't have them here. Job 41:1. Yeah, I do have it right here. Ezekiel 8:10. I don't remember now what that does say, but you take a look. These wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Do you know God's going to give every man his meat in due season? And his meat is going to be according as his works. Every man's reward. But God gives man also meat in due season here now. He caused the sun to shine upon both the just and the unjust. And sometimes the wicked have a lot more to eat than the righteous. Now, the only reason that the rich have a lot more to eat than the righteous here, this is all they have here. And because of their ungodliness, usually, they got rich. A bigger part of them got rich off of your poverty. A great much of the riches in the world is gotten by robbing somebody else. Robbing somebody else. Your high prices of food today is because there's somebody in between that's doing nothing but just picking up a receiver of a phone. He never puts out any money. He never touches any the goods or anything else, but he gets the bigger part of the profit, not the farmer. And because of those conditions in the world, we're in the fix that we're in. But God never meant for it to be so. He meant for it to be that everyone would have sufficient. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Psalm 145:16. John 10:28. Thou hidest thy face, their trouble. Now that's different. When God begins to afflict men, not willingly, but because of their way, then they begin to have problems. Psalm 30:7. Thou takest away their breath, they die, return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. Notice, thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. This is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1. To down just a few verses. That's that Spirit of God which is in every man. That's that Spirit of God which is reaching out to worship God. And that's the same Spirit that's in even the heathen, reaching out. But he's lost all contact with God, so he's reaching out to anything that he can find that seemeth to him might be advantageous some way to get along in this world. So he worships multiple gods, many gods, all kinds of gods and imaginary gods. Who had a problem?
Genesis 2:7, John 1:9, John 3:5, John 6:53, John 8:12, and John 1:5.
The book of John is quite wonderful. All right, thank you. Now, some of the rest of it contributes some of these, too. If you got some good ones there, be sure you do. And if you don't have, you should have. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. I went to bed at 2 this morning, and I was up at 4. So I didn't have time to get this all down. I just got home yesterday, and the furnace was... I don't know what's happened. And get it going a little while, something else seemed to happen. That's the way it always is. Seems like first one thing, then another, you don't know what. Now what's happened? That was all right, now what's happening? Pardon? Think it'd be any different? When it runs beautifully. Like the little girl that had the curl head, curl right down the middle of her forehead, and when she was good, she was very, very good, and when she was bad, she was horrid. So that's the way my furnace is getting to be. And I don't know what's the matter with the thing. I've only had it in there 40 years, or 30, I guess. But it's still a good furnace. Nothing the matter with it. I don't know what's happening. Devil, I guess. Brother, they don't. They told me they don't. When they fixed my, when I took it down and had them rewired, as they said, man, he said, that's the quietest motor we've had in here a long time. He said, they don't make motors like that anymore. He said, that's better than anything you can buy on the market right now. After you fix. I know that's true of many things. I looked up on the my house and wondered why my water was all run down the outside of my gutter. That's something else that takes up my time too, see, right during all this flood time. Right in the middle of all of this. And I climbed up to the top of that 3-story house and looked up there, and the new gutter that I put on, oh, 6-7 years ago, completely valley, completely worn out, and the old valley underneath still running off water. See? And old stuff that was put on there when the house was built, they've put a couple of layers over it, and the next layer all rusted off, and I put another one on and it rusted off. And underneath that, that old one looks awfully black and so, but you can take a screwdriver or nail or something like that and scratch it, and there's clean metal. But this other stuff, you scratch that and it all falls to powder. Just nothing but iron oxide. Take it in your hand. Take that I put up new 7 years ago. take hold of that pipe real easy like, and your thumb go right through it. That's the kind of stuff we're buying nowadays in this enlightened age when we know how to do everything. They could do better than that back in Pharaoh's time. Okay, let's quit the fooling around. And Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, they are created, and Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know that. Underline that. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. Now, we are the Lord's work. We are God's building. We are God's husbandry. That's what it means. We're His plowed field. We're His plowing. We're His building. Fitly fit together, built up for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. We're His works. It tells us that in many places. Now, if I know it's there, but I don't know where to tell you. Maybe Habakkuk 3:10 will tell us something, but I know there's some in the New Testament. What does Habakkuk 3:10 say? That's something else. I don't think that's on that. God's works, 39:10. Let's see if we can see one of them. Are you using that in the back of your book on the Thompson chain? 39:10, if you're not, let's go over and look at it now and get used to using them. And pick yourself up some of these. Work of God. Well, he doesn't outline much of it. Let's see if he does any. He gives you quite a number of scriptures. No, he doesn't tell you. He tells you about quite a few of the works of Christ. Pardon? I didn't hear the book. Ephesians?
2:10.
Pardon, Ephesians 2:10. All right, what does it say?
We are His workmanship.
That's it. That's the one I had in mind. That's one of them. There's another one also that's awfully good, and I can't remember where it is or just how it goes either. We are His workmanship. That brings it right out in the open. The other means the same thing.
John 4:2.
All right. All right. Let's get back over there now. But don't fail to use these wherever they've put in here opposite that verse. Look it up back there, and you can pick out. Now they won't all of them be usable there to fit this verse, so you won't want to write it down here and clutter up your book with too much. But put down those who are specific on it. That's what I've been trying to give you. Some that are definitely mean just that, and corroborate it and repeat it and confirm it. Now he looketh on the earth and it trembleth. Now Habakkuk 3:10 will probably tell you that. And then there are other places it tells you that too. He's going to shake terribly the earth one of these days. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. And one of these days they are going to smoke. They're going to run down like wax. Melt. The very elements shall be melted. 2 Peter 3:10, I think, tells you that. And 11. I don't have it here, but I'm quite sure that's where it is. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. And in case you don't know it, you're going to sing longer than that. And they sang the song of the Moses and the Lamb up there, and they sang a new song on the Mount Zion, and the others before him also sang a song saying, Thou art worthy. So you sing it here as long as you live, and you'll keep right on singing it throughout eternity. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. When you get your other being, you'll still sing. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I find it sweet. Now, Psalm 119:15. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Now, when God said, when the Holy Spirit says, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, woe unto the sinners. and let the wicked be no more, and the devil's going to be no more. Thou art a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. I will bring thee down to the dust, bring thee to nothing. Destroy him everlasting. Let the sinner be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 105. O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. You have a real refuge there. You have one who will answer. When you call upon me, I will answer. Make known his deeds among the people. Jesus said, I know that you hear me always. If you live like he did, he'll hear you always. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Spiritual psalms. Right out of your heart. Right out of your heart. You really can't sing psalms except out of your heart. You just mouth them if you don't sing it out of your heart. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. I used to have an old song. We used to sing it quite a lot. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme, through all eternity. The way that I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Oh, but this is talking about the Lord back in the Old Testament. Who's that? What's his name? What's his name? Okay, Jesus. That's right, in our language. Seek the Lord and his strength. Because Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And Paul says, I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. That's reason enough, isn't it? Isaiah 55:6 also. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth, all those things that we read about in the Word and hear about, and those that our own eyes have seen. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant. His servant. His servant. Think nothing of it if you're God's servant. You're also God's free man. All things are lawful for me. Because you're God's free man. Even though you're his servant. Not without law unto Christ. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. Who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? And who is that rock? That rock was Christ. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He's God. He hath remembered his covenant forever. He's remembered his covenant. He hadn't forgotten. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, yes, more than 1,000, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. He made a real covenant with Abraham which involved all his seed. Therefore, his oath unto Isaac, telling him that likewise, that without condition, I'll give you this land. And he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law. That couldn't have been a very bad law, could it? If he confirmed that covenant and that oath and gave it to him in the law, if that's what the law was, it must be pretty good. Must be pretty good. Confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. 81:45, Isaiah 24:5, and with verse 8, 1 Corinthians 1:9, and recognize some of these, saying unto thee, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. But do you know, Abraham, by the Spirit, knew that that involved more than just the land of Canaan. He never even sought to return to that land and possess it. He never tried to own it. He never tried to take it over, because that was in the covenant that he was going to give it to him and to his seed. So his seed was going to take it over. So Abraham just set his side clear over on the other side, came down on the other side in the new heaven, the new earth. Rocket, talk about intercontinental ballistic missiles. Should have seen Abraham. Shot out of a cannon. Clear from back there up into the end. Come sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Confirm the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, yet he said, I will make your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore, which no man can number. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, itinerant, moving here and there, to and fro, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Kept his hand upon them, as he did with Abraham, and as he did again with Isaac when he went down into Egypt and land of Abimelech, and then with his people when they went into Egypt. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. He did that to Abimelech, the king. God spoke to Abimelech also concerning his wife, because he hadn't told her that he was his wife. He's afraid that he'd kill him. Saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Abraham is the first one in the Bible that it specifically says that he is a prophet. He's the first one that was called a prophet. He is a prophet. He's a prophet. And Abimelech knew that God was talking to him. He said, he's a prophet, don't you? That's his wife. And I kept you from doing anything wrong. You didn't mean to be doing wrong, but you could have done wrong. I kept you from it. Therefore, he took Abraham in and gave him gifts. Now, which one it was, Abraham or Isaac? Well, they were both given gifts, I think, when they went out. But it came out good. However, he was not the first prophet. He's the first one that's called a prophet. But the first prophet was who? That we know of. Where he himself prophesied. Enoch. Before Abraham's time. It did not call him a prophet. Did not say he was a prophet. But we are told way up in Jude that he did prophesy. So he was a prophet. But God mentions that Abraham's a prophet. That's before God ordained prophets among his people or even had a people. But the seed of Abraham became prophets unto God in the land of among the people of Israel. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. Sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Sold for a servant. And there's a place where God anointed him down there for this thing, and he saw some of his dreams come to pass. While he was a servant, it provided a way that this thing could happen, that he became great among them. whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. He was really bound in prison. It wasn't no easy life like we have out here now. It was no free schooling and free entertainment and free athletics and so on. Good food. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron until the time that his word came. God had given him dreams. And here everything seemed to go wrong. God had given him these dreams that indicated that he was going to be somebody great in God's sight. And yet everything seemed to be going wrong. Everything seemed to be going just the opposite of that any of these things could ever be. Sold into Egypt by his own brethren. How in the world is his brethren going to fall down and bow down to him ever under the circumstance like that? And here he is thrown in prison and everybody's forgotten him. The father thinks he's dead. And Pharaoh couldn't care less if he was. And Joseph probably wished he was sometime. But God brought him out. Until the time his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Tried him. See? Now that's important. James has much to tell you about the trying of your patience. And the your testings. Your testings and your trial. And over in there it becomes your proof. The proving. Your proving. See, this was a proving. Not just a trial. It was a proving. It was a proving. But he remembered God's word. But until the word came, that is, till the fulfillment came, until it began to happen, the word of the Lord tried him. I mean, it really tried him. See whether he believed what God told him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house, ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, his own rulers. Joseph was over them, and he could put them in prison if he wanted to. And teach his senators wisdom. Even the smartest men in his kingdom, Joseph could teach them wisdom. Showing you what God can do with his people whom he has chosen if they will walk uprightly with him. Israel, who also came into Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, which is Egypt. And he increased his people greatly, made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. You see, God had a dealing to something to do with that. And he hardened old Pharaoh's heart so that he could show his great power among that nation. Because that was the greatest of the nation. That was about the second of the seven heads of the beast in Revelation 13. Old Egypt. Beginning with Nimrod and his rebellion against God to make himself a kingdom, and then comes the next thing you find that his people are being mistreated with Egypt. From then they come on up unto the Assyrio-Babylonian. From there on into the Medo-Persian, from there on into the Grecian, from there into the Roman. We're down in the end of the Roman Empire now. The very end of it is as a feet of iron and clay. They don't mix. That's our problem today. That's our problem today. And the devil's business is to destroy God's people, always. So the history of all these things has only been concerning God's people. They've not been about all the other nations. This is about God's people, clear from Genesis to Revelation. And what happened to them in the world among the heathen. What the heathen did and what God did and what, to the heathen and to his own people. That's the whole Bible. That's all what it's all about. That's all what it's written for. For his people. Not for others, just for his people. If the gospel be hid, it's hidden to them that are lost.